Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Mari Pablo, I'll Give a Reflection, and much more. Well, welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guest is Mari Pablo. She works for Evangelical Catholic. If you remember, we interviewed Jason Simon, who's part of that organization as well, some time ago. But she's going to tell us about her work there, but also her work as a speaker and a catechist, and even something of a psychologist.
Yeah, and it's always great to meet all these guests at SEEK. And there's just a lot of great Catholic witnesses out there, like Mari and the work that she's doing. And we're now going to a reflection with Father Mark.
We recently celebrated the Feast of the Assumption of Our Lady into Heaven, body and soul. This dogma was proclaimed in 1950 by Pius X, and it teaches that her human body, did not suffer corruption. That after her death, God took her to heaven, assumed her into heaven. After her Domitian or death, we could believe in either one, but she was taken up into heaven. This means that her body participates. Our body is destined to participate in divine glory. That's the destiny. That is it's the instrument of holiness here on earth. We move, live, serve in our body, do acts of charity. We love others through our body, relate to one another through our body. So there's that great dignity there. But it's not that the soul is just the only thing that's important. Yes, it's most important, but the body has this great dignity joined to the soul. We form a composite. To be human means to have a body and a soul. We receive both from God our Father. We receive our masculinity or our femininity. Our body reveals that, whether we're male or female. We can't change that. That's received from God. We are to accept that, to glorify God in that. So Mary's our model and pattern of holiness. She is the Immaculate Conception. She was born without original sin, so it makes sense that she would not suffer this eternal death or have death for any length of time. She did not suffer corruption. She was a perfect model of holiness. So she's the model disciple. In her, we see and have hope for our future destiny of being in heavenly glory, both body and soul. So this teaches us that we can never denigrate the human body, we can never objectify it like women suffer in our culture today. We're not to monetize it. It has this great dignity of image of God and destined for glory.
Well, Mari, welcome to Life on the Rock.
Thank you so much. I know it's exciting, right?
2024, so it's been a very exciting week so far. And you are a Catholic speaker, originally from the Miami area.
You've
given a number of talks, but tell us a little bit about yourself and the work you do.
Yeah, so my name is Mari Pablo. I live in Miami, which I always joke around that it's like a country within a state. But my family is originally from Dominican Republic in Palestine, which is wonderful. And pretty much grew up Catholic. Was just mentioning this to you, grew up in a charismatic community. My parents were really involved, and so I kind of grew up seeing miracles happen before my eyes, like people in wheelchairs just get up and start walking, and the blind start seeing, things of the scriptures.
Right.
Same God is still alive today, so I grew up kind of exposed to all of that. The founder of our community is Padre Emiliano Tardif, who's a servant of God, which is kind of epic. And so I grew up in that kind of world. And then had a deeper conversion when I was about 19 years old after serving at a Catholic camp. And the Lord kind of did a lot of work after that and started, I discovered Franciscan University. I didn't even know it existed until I was 19. Okay. And then I transferred over there and studied theology and psychology from there.
And what kind of led to that deeper conversion? Because you're already involved in this charismatic.
Yes, so I grew up Catholic. Got into my faith. I've had 13 ear surgeries. I almost died when I was 9.
Oh, wow.
So my childhood was spent in a hospital. So I definitely had an encounter with the Lord. I was telling you my first talk, I was 11 years old.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like a full-on commitment. It was like, I love Jesus, but I also want to do my own thing. Very just double-sided. And then I went to serve as a Life Team missionary at the camp in Georgia.
Oh yeah.
And that's where the Lord really just asked for a deeper surrender of my heart, specifically through confession and adoration.
That's Cove Crest, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Cove Crest. Were you a retreatant?
No.
Or were you?
I was a missionary, which is part of the funny things of how God works. So I had never even heard of Life Team, and He used that to kind of bring about everything.
Well, I grew up going through a Life Team myself.
Nice.
I never went out there, but I grew up with it. And so I thought it always had a big impact on my life, just with the prayer and the fellowship. And
just the witness.
The witness, yeah. Definitely the people really, I think, impacted my life on that journey. But then you went up to Steubenville.
Went to Steubenville, studied theology and psychology. Was a youth minister in New Orleans for a little bit. Then I was a morality and sacraments teacher for 8 years at my alma mater in Miami at a high school level. I was campus minister there. And then in the middle of all that, the Lord opened up a lot of doors for speaking.
Yeah.
God's really funny with how He works. And I said, listen, if you want me to be a speaker, I want to do nothing and you will do everything.
Wow.
So I didn't want to do a website. I didn't want to tell people that I was a speaker. I just wanted God to just opened the doors, and He did just that, and started off working with Ascension Press, with Youth Theology of the Body, and then that opened up a bunch more doors. And honestly, God is wild, and His plans are way greater than ours, and I'm reminded of that every day.
So you went to go study theology, but also psychology.
Yeah.
Why psychology?
So when I was in high school, I had a lot of friends of mine just struggling either with eating disorders or self-harm. My sister was in an abusive relationship for many years. There was a lot of mental health issues that I was seeing, and I wasn't quite understanding. And somehow I became the person that people came to talk with. And I wanted to understand the reasoning behind everything. So like the why.
Right.
So what's going on a mental level when someone is in an abusive relationship? What's going on a mental level when they're struggling with depression? I'm a big person of, I believe in psychology, like counseling and Jesus.
Yeah,
I think that God can work through both.
Mm-hmm.
And so even when I taught morality, we would look at theology, but also how is God caring for our mental health and our whole well-being through what He's teaching? And so every single, like the sacraments and the commandments, God is so brilliant that He's caring for every aspect of our life with what He says. And it makes sense from a theological perspective, but also a psychological, emotional, and physical perspective.
Yeah.
So that's why I like both.
So do you see a lot of like anxiety too with a lot of our youth of maybe the day in and day out?
Oh yeah. And I also struggle with anxiety. Yeah. So yes, definitely. It's hard. And I think it is, you know, obviously people say, you know, social media plays a role, which I agree. But also I think that it is that more people are talking about it. So a generation of like my parents or grandparents, you just didn't talk about it. You kind of just stuffed it aside and dealt with it.
Right.
And now, which is a good thing. Now we have an area, space for, it's okay to get a counselor. It's okay to talk about it. Especially I would say, you know, be careful which counselor you pick. So
right.
Always I would say get a Christian or Catholic counselor. But I think that in the right hands, the Lord can work through both.
Yeah, I think that is a big need today, especially with like teenage depression.
Mm-hmm.
It seems rampant, just from what I've read and just from the conversations I have had. But what do you see kind of contributing to that? I mean, I know there's a lot of factors.
Like, how many times have we got? There's a lot of things, I think. You know, like mentioning, social media is a proponent. Also, family structure is a very big thing. The way that families speak to each other, the way that teens are treated. I don't think teenagers are given enough credit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're spoken down upon too much. And it's amazing when you just, like, love on them, respect them, and listen to them.
Right.
It's amazing what those three things can do. And I don't see enough of that.
And I think too, just having that presence there to be with those who are, you know, and maybe those early walks in life, because that can be very challenging. There's a lot of transition
to
college or career.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a lot of big life decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Definitely agree with that.
Yeah, so I just know it can be kind of an interesting time in a young person's life of what, of everything they're trying to figure out, especially in relation to faith. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think, well, Marty, we have to go to a break, but whenever we come back, let's get more into the evangelical Catholic.
Wonderful. Sounds good.
Amadi, you're also part of something called the Evangelical Catholic. Mm-hmm. What is that?
Yeah, so God is funny with how that works. I didn't even know about the Evangelical Catholic until I had been teaching for 8 years. I was campus minister in my high school. I loved teaching, mm-hmm. but speaking was getting a little bit bigger, and I felt like the Lord was calling me to do something else. And so I made a very bold move.
You're right.
And I told Jesus, you know, we've been at this for a year now. Time to make decisions. It's April, I have to sign my contracts in May. I've applied nowhere and done nothing, but you're Jesus and you can make it happen. So I'll give you a week, mm-hmm. the end. And then Evangelical Catholic reached out to me 2 hours later with, okay. Hey, are you interested in a job? And I was like, I have to take this interview because I just said amen. And that's when I started researching Evangelical Catholic. And I was very surprised at how simple what they do is. They're all about training the laity to go out and evangelize.
Okay.
So if you think about it, like the church is made up of 99.something% lay people. But I feel like we put too much emphasis on, like, especially in a parish level, we don't want to do anything without the priest's approval, or right. we need to, like, everything needs to be done by the priest. But as baptized, right, we're priest, prophet, and king, and we don't necessarily have to ask the priest to have some friends over to do a Bible study.
Right.
Or to have deep conversations with mm-hmm. our cousins.
Right.
Or to have good conversations at work.
Right.
Right? Like, we don't have to actually, we as laity, there are areas in the day-to-day life that a priest or sister don't have access to.
Right.
Yeah. That we do.
Yes.
So that's what the Evangelical Catholic focuses on.
Okay.
The mission is clear. It's just, let's help train the laity to go be Catholic.
Oh yeah.
Wherever they go.
I recognize that in my own life whenever mm-hmm. I was working, and some of the deepest conversations really happen with your coworkers mm-hmm. or friends at school. And I don't know if it's Absolutely. Just an openness and a willingness to listen, or mm-hmm. just maybe having that personal level mm-hmm. that really helps. Mm-hmm. But I always found that to be a very interesting time in my life, especially in college, whenever you could share faith and yeah. related and just kind of get a different perspective of how others see it.
Exactly.
As well.
And to know it's not, you could even share your faith without necessarily asking, like, so do you go to Mass on Sundays?
Right,
you know
right,
what
yeah.
I mean? It's just by you sharing your joy, by you sharing what you did this weekend. If you went on a retreat, not being afraid to say, yeah, I went on a retreat, or yeah, I went on a Bible. Like, you can share without preaching at. We don't want to preach out. We want to mm-hmm. just share our experiences and share what the Lord's doing. And if that brings people to Jesus in the process, then that's beautiful. So kind of training people to, this is so sad to say, but how to just have good conversations and ask questions.
Yeah.
Because we live in a world that unfortunately doesn't know how to do that very well.
Right. Now, when you were teaching, you taught high school. Mm-hmm. What were the subjects you taught again?
Morality and sacraments.
Morality and sacraments.
Think of, like, right. every controversial subject you could think of. Those
two?
Yeah.
How did the high school students, how did they respond to, like, morality? Were they open to it, or were they more?
Okay, so I purposely did morality the second semester. So you spent the first semester kind of building repertoire with them. I started my class with, like, what do you believe in and why? And so if they were like, oh, I'm Catholic, well, why are you Catholic?
Right.
Oh, because my parents are. I was like, wow, you're almost 18 years old and that's your answer. Like, that's
right.
sad.
Yeah.
So I wanted them to start taking ownership of the faith. Even if it was something that wasn't Catholic, I still wanted them to understand, well, why do you believe that and where does it come from? So I think semester one was all about just building relationship with them and trust and respect. So in second semester, when we got to the topics, I'd mm-hmm. first start with objective and subjective truth. Because if we can't agree that truth, an objective truth right. is real, then nothing in my class is gonna matter.
Yeah.
So we would debunk subjective truth, you know, and agree, like, objective truth is real, and that's what we're going for. And then after all those groundworks were done, then I could enter into the commandments and all the subjects that I needed to answer.
Because I sometimes would think that would be kind of tricky to talk to a high school student.
It is.
Just maybe where they're at with maybe their understanding of the faith or how they're raised and everything.
They also, I would encourage them, like, if you believe something, if you look at something like that disagrees with what we're saying, mm-hmm. bring it up.
Right.
But you can't bring it up emptily. So, like, bring it up with facts and with things to back it up, and we can have a good conversation. Yeah. So I think they also appreciated that I was willing to listen to them, even if what they were saying was different. And also, like I mentioned before, I took every single thing I taught and would bring in statistics from secular sources and psychology sources and rational mm-hmm. sources. And I think that helped them see. I think in their minds, it was just, we're Catholic, this is what the church says, so we just do it. But when you understand we're Catholic, this is what the church says, and this is why, mm-hmm. it helps them a lot.
I think that's such an important question to hit, is the why do we believe? A lot of times we can know what we believe, but the why, mm-hmm. especially in high school, that's such a formative time in a young person's life when they are, again, asking those big questions mm-hmm. that in many ways are going to impact their life of, you know, what is it that I truly believe, you know, and you can accept it or reject it, but at least have the right credentials mm-hmm. or the right understanding of the faith before you walk away from it. Because I think today there's such a distorted view out there of faith and religion and what we believe. And that probably plays a big part in your work in evangelization. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the obstacles that you see out there in the just to evangelize in the world today?
A lot of people have preconceived ideas and already shut down without listening. Yeah. I think that's... that is a thing, you know? Usually when I go speaking somewhere, they're open because I mean, they attended a thing, but if it's like a confirmation retreat that people are forced to go, you know, there's a different level. It's almost like I have to start just sharing general stories or things that are more broad mm-hmm. so that we can try to break down those barriers a little bit before we enter in. But there's a lot of division in our world today.
Yeah.
And, I think people think that if I have a different opinion than you, then we can't communicate or I feel attacked by you.
Right.
And that's not the case or shouldn't be the case.
Right.
Like, we should be able to just respect and as just human beings, right?
Right.
To be able to have that. And there's a lot of issues in that area that I think we could improve on.
Yeah.
You know, so that's definitely an obstacle. But if you just love people well, I think that's the way to...
That is the most important thing.
We learned that from Jesus, right?
Right.
Just do what Jesus did. That's really what we got to do.
Yeah.
But I think that's the way to
do that. Okay, good. Well, Mari, we've run out of time, but thank you for being
thank
a
you
life
so much for having
on the
me.
Rock.
I really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Bless.
Brother John, I loved your interview with her, and I love that line, be Catholic wherever you go. The laity mm-hmm. have this privileged access into other people's lives, you know, coworkers or family or community. And to bring that Catholicism in there, that's going to be the principal way of evangelization. Your pastor's not going to be there, right? You're in the workplace with them. You're in family life with them. Mm-hmm.
Or the classroom. Mm-hmm. And one of the points that I liked that she kind of stressed was just having ownership of the faith. You know, as a Catholic, a lot of times we do need to kind of be reawakened, you know, in our faith. But that is, I think, a real claim that we have to get in touch with, that we have to know that God loves us. And we have to really be able to share that love of God with others. And there's so many points, but a lot of times in our interaction, just the basis of a conversation is so important, just to listen, to understand where people are at, and really to help them and kind of guide them where they need to go.
Yeah, she pointed out there's so much obvious division out there. There's a lot of preconceived mm-hmm. notions that come from our media use that's on all these different levels today. We have all these impressions coming at us about what a person, a group, or country is like. And so we have to realize that. So as you say, as she mentioned, you know, when you evangelize somebody, you first got to love them. You got to love the person in mm-hmm. front of you you're talking to. and then to have the conversation, you know, to listen.
Yeah.
And try to respond to maybe questions they have or things you hear them say.
And I think just that respect that we have for others goes a long way. Because whenever, again, because a lot of times just people don't have everything figured out in their lives or in religion and all that. But just to lend that listening ear, to be that constant guide and to help them, not just aggressive, just kind of beating them over the head, but to, I think just to gently guide them, you know, and to really kind of show those acts of love that I'm here for you.
Right. And I was thinking in terms of like the laity, you know, if you have some sign of Christianity, a cross or something, that can be a conversation starter. You know, we were of the habit, and I know I talk about this a lot, like in airports, on airplanes, you know, people will open up and talk about things if they feel like you're a person of faith.
Especially at the airport.
Especially at the airport. We'll send you that vineyard with a blessing. May our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you grace to be an evangelist. May He use you as an instrument of His holy gospel. May God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
In cloudy skies, the sun will always shine. And in the heart of every storm, You'll always be the eye. No height nor depth, the final breath can keep me from Your love. Oh my God, You chose me and forever show me. My life is part of Your plan. My name is carved in Your hands. You meet me right where I am. Your love won't let me go. Here on Your promise I stand. You finish what You began. You meet me right where I am. Your love won't let me go. Your love won't let me go. Your love won't let me go. You made the sun, the moon and sky in every galaxy. And with creation in Your arms, said I'm the missing piece. Author of the stars lives inside my heart. Oh my God, You chose me.
You chose me
and forever show me.
My life is part of Your plan. My name is carved in Your hands. You meet me right where I am. Your love won't let me go. Here on Your promise I stand.
I stand.
You finish what You began.
But I know who holds my future. I don't know what my future holds, but I know who holds my future. There's never a day or an hour, a minute,
oh, no.
Time in my life when You haven't been in it. I don't know what my future holds, but I know You hold it.
My life is part of Your plan. My name is carved in
Your hands.
Love holds on to me, and Your love won't let me go.